Hi, I'm Chanel, one of the journalists at Manx Radio. Welcome to the latest edition of Manx Radio Newscast.
My name is Sue Harper.
Now, Sue, I understand something very exciting has been happening in the background, something about Lily's Law. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, hopefully. We're at the final stages. So the background is in 2014, I'm in a same-sex relationship. In 2014, my partner and I were blessed to be pregnant with our daughter, Lily. And at the time, I realised that Sarah, my partner, could not be named on the birth certificate automatically to give her automatic rights to our children. So I approached Alan Bell at the time, who was the chief minister, and asked him, could this be looked at and could the law be changed? In 2009, in the UK, this came in, so we were quite far behind. I was pleased with his response. There's never been a no from any of the administrations. He said yes, he would look at, and yes, he agreed to get this in place. As I say, that was 2014. We're now in 2025. It was nicknamed Lily's Law after our firstborn, who was born in May 2015. We've now got another child, Ella, who was born in 2020, and the law is still not through. And I've just been pushing and pushing ever since to try and get this through, because it's so important for my family, for families before us and families coming through as well in the same situation, to have those equal rights and just be in line with everyone else, really.
I understand it's just about to receive that royal assent. But as you mentioned, 11 years is a long time to wait. You know, can you describe the emotions for me when you think about it? Because it must be exciting that it's finally happening, but also a little bit like, oh, wait, it's 11 years.
Absolutely. So, 11 years. We did joke when we started this with the lady that started it with us that, you know, Lily would be in school by the time it was put in, and thinking, you know, maybe reception. She's now, you know, she's going into year six next in September. So it's been very frustrating, I would say, because I've never been told no from the government. I've been asking for updates maybe 3 or 4 months. If anybody moves departments, I've got the new contact. And I've never been told no, but I have been given a lot of deadlines that have passed, promises that have been broken. So that side of it has been really frustrating. And I think what I know now, when Tanya August Phillips got hold of it and put it through as a private member's bill, it's really gained traction in the last few years, but it's only these last few years that it has. What I know now, I think I've been paid lip service by a lot of people in the government, which is very, very frustrating. Nobody's ever said no. And the motivation has always been there, because obviously, you do it for your family. I've got equal rights automatically. My partner, Sarah, hasn't, not automatically. And you do it for the protection of your children. If anything was to happen to me, then obviously I want Sarah to have full rights and responsibility for our children. It's been very frustrating, but the motivation has always been there, because it's for the love of and the protection of the family and future families on the island, not just for us, it's for everyone else in the same situation.
Now, I know, I think it was last week that you posted on social media about an update to the bill. What's the reaction been? Has there been lots of people that's been inquiring to find out more, maybe younger families that want to know what the process is that they can follow, things like that?
Absolutely. So I did put a post on Lily's Law to say that obviously, you know, it was gaining traction and we were near the final stages and there was going to be some media coverage, and the amount of comments that I got, and it was all positive. The majority of there was people asking, you know, they were in that situation or they're looking to start a family. Where's it up to? What do I do? So I was talking to them about, you know, the intricacies of it and how it's going to look. And then also there was people, you know, which was really encouraging, saying, wow, for something so simple that should just be a tick box exercise, really, to have taken 11 years. It's ridiculous, and it shouldn't have taken that long. But luckily, you know, we've been pushing and pushing and we've never stopped pushing. And now it is in the final stage, and hopefully, you know, it will go through next year.
And, you know, if you can describe to us, you know, how does it feel as a family? Because same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships are acknowledged. You know, people, it is acknowledged, it is law. But when it comes to the parental part of it, you've got one that has that right and one that, as much as both parents know you are, the second, you've got you don't have it in writing.
Mm. It's really frustrating, because, like you say, you know, you think times have moved on, great, you know, same-sex marriage, civil partnership, and then, you know, you know, some people want kids, some people don't. But for the people that have made that commitment to their partner, sometimes it's just a natural thought and a natural progression that, you know, the next thing along the line is children. And it shouldn't be different for same-sex couples at all. That's exactly how we thought. And then, you know, to go through, same-sex couples cannot have kids naturally. To go through everything that you go through with IVF fertility treatment. I mean, Lily was round 10 of fertility treatment and with two miscarriages. Ella was round 15 with another three miscarriages thrown in. So these children are wanted. You know, they're not mistakes. They're not one-night stands. These children are wanted and fought for, and they're loved before they even get here. And then to have that final tick in the box of you've been through all this, and then you have the baby, but only the birth mum can have equal rights. And the partner who's been as much through all the IVF or whatever treatment you go through, they've been as much through it as anybody, you know, as the birth mum, if not more sometimes. And for them not to then have that right on the place where they live, you know, it's just not right. When you go to the clinics in the UK, you sign all the paperwork to say any child born out of that treatment cycle, you are both legally responsible financially and for the child's welfare. That's for your protection. It's for the child's protection as well. But then obviously you come back here, you know, you have the baby. That's just not a thing. And then there is a way round. You have to get parental rights, but, you know, you have to apply to the courts. Within that, there's also a lot of advocates that we were getting quoted £3,000 as well to get this through. At the time, we didn't know any different. We didn't pay that, luckily. Somebody did it for us, a family lawyer. But the reality is you can get parental responsibility through the court. You just pay the court fee and you can do it yourself. But you wouldn't know that at the time. But yeah, it's just not right. And that final tick in the box, which is so important, just needs to be put in place.
Now, once Lily's law is implemented on the island, what would it mean in terms of children's birth certificates? Like you are the mum on your daughter's mm-hmm. one. Does it mean that you'll get a new birth certificate mm-hmm. with your partner's name on it, or you tell us?
Yeah, so that was really important to us. As soon as I started this, I said, look, with the best will in the world, you know, I am doing this for my family, even though it will help a lot of other families. But, you know, I want to make sure that, Sarah, this will benefit us. At the moment, it's mother and father on the birth certificate. So if anyone's at the birth, you can go as a witness. So Sarah's on the birth certificate as a witness, but that gives her no rights. Just means she was in the room at the time. So I made sure all the way through this that there's a clause that any existing families like ours can re-register. So we will go down to the registry office. We will surrender their birth certificates and they will be re-registered to us. And I believe it's just going to be parent one, parent two. So both our names will be on there. They will have new birth certificates. And that was really important for that to happen. And then once the law's in, this won't even be a conversation. Future families can just go down to the registry office and just do it like any, you know, male, female couple can do it. And it won't even be a conversation. It'll just all be in place.
That feels like that full circle moment, I think.
100%. And you know, and I've said it before, I've thought about this day so many times in my head, it will be really emotional. Hopefully we can be the first ones there to do it. I've said to the kids they can have some time off school, so they're very excited. And, you know, we will go down and it will mean so much to us to just do it. I mean, you know, we've registered them both as babies, you know, and Lily might be 11 by this point, and Ella could be 6 years old. And, you know, to know that all this pushing has actually come to fruition for us, for other families and for future families, it will be a really emotional day. And I think it'll be a proud day as well.
If I can ask, I think this is my last question, but if I can ask, do you remember 11 years ago, what was that moment that made you decide, right, I'm going to take a step and I'm going to fight for this? Was it when you got the birth certificate and saw that Sarah's name was as witness, or was it through a conversation that you had with someone else that said, actually, she doesn't, if anything had to happen to you, she wouldn't be the one responsible? What was that moment for you?
It was just literally, because we're both from the UK, and we have friends in the UK who are in same-sex relationships that have just, you know, registered the birth as normal. And we hadn't even had Lily by this point. I was actually pregnant with Lily. And once I knew that the pregnancy was going to continue and it was successful, I thought, I've got to get the ball rolling here. You know, we have to have these equal rights. And like I say, that's when I approached the government. And I knew the wheels of government turned slowly, but I honestly did not think it would be this slow. So I thought, well, if I can do it while I'm pregnant, very naively, I thought October 2014, she was due in May 2015. I thought I might be in place by then, very naively. But then it was just, you know, it was just something that I would not let go of then. And like I say, no one's ever said no to me. I just wasn't going to let it go and let it slide because it's just so important for everyone.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.